Okay. I'd like to finish up one point in Tochein, which is a very important point, and then we'll get started with Lush. The Gemara says in the Gimel Mebeis that discussing doing certain types of medicinal activities on Shabbos, that is prohibited. And Rashi explains that it's also Mishum Gzeira Shemi Yumachik Samimanim. Maybe I will grind up the medications. In antiquity, the way that medications were made was from, I guess, natural substances, would be ground up into some sort of more absorbable or more usable form. So that was also Mishum Tochen, because you might grind it up. So any type of medicinal activity on Shabbos is also because maybe you will grind up Samimanim, even though this medicinal activity has no medications involved. I think the Gemara there was discussing dunking in cold water. Nonetheless, if it is not something that everybody would do for another reason, it's something which is miyuchad, is a medicinal activity, so that is also Mishum Gzeiro Shem Yamachik Samimanim. The post can quote from the Sefer Ksos HaShulchan, that he asked that in our times that's not the way medicine is practiced. We do not give out raw materials that are then ground up into make medicines. They're generally ready processed. And even in their manufacturing state, that's often not how medications are made. It's generally not how they're made. So why should the Isser of Refuah B'Shabbos apply anymore, since the reason doesn't apply? And in fact, one is the one case, you know, which you might encounter, which you might think is tochein, which is, let's say you have a pill and you want to grind up the pill, or you want to take half the pill. So you know, let's say a kid who can't take a pill. So you smash the pill into pieces and, put it in a drink or something like that. So you might think, well, that's tochein. At least that's tochein because I just smashed the pill into pieces. Nonetheless, Shmir Shabbos Kochasa says that if a person smashes a pill into pieces, if you crumble a pill, which you would have thought is tochein, that's not tochein. Because we mentioned last time the concept that ain tochen achar tochen. Once an object has already had tochen done to it, we mentioned that by bread, that since there was tochen originally done to the flour, and then later it's baked into bread, you can crumble the bread. Many we shouldn't hold, because ain tochen achar tochen. And the Rambam quotes that halacha lemaisa. One could ask, but there was no tochen originally done here. The pill did not necessarily have a tochen done to it. It could be it was made in a lab and then just formed into a pill. Where was the original tochen? We quoted last time from the Chazon Ish that ain tochen achar tochen is not because of the original tochen. It's not like bishul, that since there was a bishul already done here, the second bishul on potter. The pshat is that any time the binding agent of the pieces is not the natural binding agent, it's something which is artificial, either bread, which was formed later after the object was already ground up, or a pill, which was made in a laboratory or something like that, where the binding agent of the pill is not the natural binding agent of these particles, or these parts, so then that's not tochen. Tochen is only in its original form. That's what ein tochen achar tochen means. So if that's the case, the pills would never be a shiloh of tochen. So why then does the Isser Refuah apply b'zman hazeh if the reason does not apply? As we know, this is a big discussion. If you didn't know, you should know. It's a big discussion in the poskim. When do you say that the reason for Gzeira has ceased to apply, so the Gzeira stops to apply, no longer applies? Or do we say, no, even if the reason no longer applies, the Gzeira continues to apply? So the Ksos HaShulchan quotes from the famous Tosas in Beitza on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, where Tosas is commenting on the Mishnah, that the person is not allowed to dance on Shabbos, you're not allowed to clap on Shabbos, you're not allowed to bang instruments on Shabbos. Gzeir Hashem Yisakin Klishir. Maybe you will fix it if it breaks. So Tosa says there that we are not Bikiyim, the standard, average person is not a Baki B'tikun Klishir. So what is the chashash? Maybe at a time when the klishir was so primitive that everybody could fix it, or people in general, the knowledge base was greater amongst the hamonam, so then you have something to be afraid of. But in our times, what the chashash doesn't make any sense. So Tosa says, therefore, one can engage in some of these activities on Shabbos because the reason no longer applies. And the Ramah in Simshin Lamed Tes, when he's discussing this, to dance on Shabbos and to clap on Shabbos, so he says, but there are those who are Noagim to do this on Shabbos. How are they able to do this? So the first answer that the Ramah gives is because Mutav Shu Shogagim Va'al Yehiyu Mezidim. Really, it's Usher. But you don't have to make a macha. Better that they be shogeg. The second teretz that the Ramah suggests is like this Tosus. The second, I guess you could call it a limud schus, that the Ramah has is like the Tosus, that the Yesh Omrim, he says, that the Isser to clap and to dance on Shabbos does not apply anymore because the reason no longer applies. Of Gzer Hashem Yisak and Klishir. Mishnah Berurah points out it doesn't mean you can play instruments. That far, nobody was willing to go. But at least regarding clapping and dancing, the Ramah quotes from the Tosas that since we're not Bucky in that Tikkun Klishir, the reason for the Gzera no longer applies, the Gzera ceases to apply. However, not everybody so that's the Raya the Ksos HaShochan says. If you see by dancing and clapping, the Ramah quotes from Tosas, so why should this be any different? Why should the Isser Refuah apply Bizman HaZeh and Shabbos when even if you would grind the pill, there would be no Tochen? So Shechter quotes in the Sefer Eretz HaTzvi from the Rav and the Noda B'Yehuda as a Tshuva in Tinyana Simi Mem Tes, where the Rav said he got very, Shechter quotes from the Rav, they got very upset at people who relied on this Ramah because we don't understand what Tosa said. The Gemara has a rule in Beitza on Daf Hei that Davar Shebe Minyan Tzarech Minyan Acher Vahatiro. Any takana mid rabbanon requires another minyan, another rabbanon, another equally in stature rabbanon to come along and repeal it. Not just that the reason ceases to apply. Yeah.
I think I remember seeing something in Rav Moshe that he also had trouble with Tosfot. He said that if Chazan knew that people wouldn't end up keeping the gezerah, they wouldn't really have made it in the first place.
It's a possibility. Exclusion.
Yeah.
Could be.
Does he assume that Flavich assume that all takanot are considered davar shebeminyan, or just
right,
those that come from time to tomorrow, or and if so, then how do you ever know how many rabbis and how wise the rabbis were who were involved in making that takanot?
No, that's not the same as that.
That's davar shebeminyan is.
You need another minion. It doesn't have to be equal.
The Rambam writes you need a greater number.
No, that's not regarding that. It's regarding to reinterpret a pasuk.
In terms of Daka the opposite. In terms of Sukkim, you can argue from generation to generation.
Right. That's Yifsach with Okashmu.
But Daka that you need to. How do you. Is this like practical?
God, let me know.
Can
I
ever do. Okay, I'm just.
But clearly, you wouldn't say since the reason ceases to apply, the gzera stops, it ceases to apply. So, Noda B'Yehuda says the Ramah, even the Ramah wasn't so convinced of this. That's why he only quoted the Yesh Omrim, and the Yishuv that he quoted before that was Mutav Shu Shochim Valyum Ezidin, that it is Aser. So, Noda B'Yehuda says you shouldn't rely on the Ramah L'Chachilo because even the Ramah wasn't so convinced of that Svara.
Is he discussing this in the context of Rufo the Shabbos, or
no? He's talking about Tosis, yeah. Okay. He's talking about doses. It's interesting in the Munkacha, the Minchas Elazar, in Chelek Aleph Simach Chav Tes, asks how are the Hasidim noeg to clap and dance and Shabbos? What about the Ramah wasn't so convinced of that svar of Tosis? He quotes it kind of as a limud schus. So where did the Hasidim come to be meikel on that lechachila?
That halachic question.
Yeah, that's the shaila. So he answers that. That the Mishnah Berurah there quotes, this is an important halacha, the Mishnah Berurah there quotes from the Ma'arik in the name of Rav Haigon. So it's an earlier source already, which was available at the time of the Shulchan Aruch. That it is permissible to dance and clap on Simchas Torah. Mishum Kavod Shel Torah will make on the Issa D'Rabbanan to dance and clap. So and that's accepted halacha l'maisa. So the Minchas Elazar asks, why didn't the Shulchan Aruch quote that halacha? So he doesn't know. Then he has another question. He says, why can't we extrapolate? He asks like this. He says, no, the reason why it should be mutter is the same way the Ma'arik and Rav Haigon say that it's mutter to dance on Simchas Torah, mishum kavod shel Torah, to dance and to clap, so too it should be mutter on Shabbos, mishum on Yontif, mishum onig Yontif, and it should be mutter on Shabbos, mishum kavod atfilah, to dance and to clap during davening. He extrapolates from the Arik in the name of Rav Haigon. So yes, if that's true, why wasn't that brought in Shulchan Aruch? If that's the case, it should be brought. That's an important halacha. The Mishum Simchas Yantif, a person could clap. Not only again, the Mishum Simchas Yantif, a person could clap and dance during Tefillah. That should have been brought in Shulchan Aruch. She says, hey, but the Ikar halacha of Simchas Torah, that's not brought in Shulchan Aruch. Why not? And so he said, even though it seems to me that that was available at the time of the Shulchan Aruch, that's the premise of his question, so it seems to me that that was available, why didn't the Shulchan Aruch bring it? So he says, because this is only for Yechidim, this is not for the Hamonam. If a person feels so inspired by davening that he wants to clip and dance, so for him it's mutter. So the Hasidim who get so inspired during davening, for them it's mutter. So, but that's not, the Shulchan Aruch is not going to codify that. That's not something which applies to everybody. If you have that fire burning within you, he says, so then that's fine. For those who don't have the fire burning within them, then it's awesome.
So he'll have to make an account in the Gemara that is talking about Stam dancing, not like Bishat Tzvila.
Right, right.
Also,
right.
Some of the people who aren't on the Madrega that they.
That's for the Hamonam. Right, right. Anyway, it is discussed. It's not forgotten about. It is discussed. Anyway, getting back to the real point, how far. Tosas itself is difficult. So how far are we going to apply that Tosas? We're going to apply it to the Issa Refu B'Shabbos. We don't really understand how Tosas negotiated the issue of Dovish Abiminin Tarach Minin Achu Atiro. And the Pesukim discuss, when do you say Davar Shel Minyan, when don't you say Davar Shel Minyan, a whole discussion. Toras Chesed has a long tshuva about it, it's an interesting topic. So Shechter quotes in Eretz HaTzvi from the Mishkanis Yaakov, the following idea, the following rule. He says, the Prima Gadim in the Psicha Koleles says that Chazal only have the right to make a gzera if there's a real chashash, if there's a reason. There has to be a reason. If there's no reason, the whole power of Chazal to make Zeres and Dakonis comes from Asum Mishmeres L'Mishmarti. Shmarti Mis Mishmarti, Asum Mishmeres L'Mishmarti. They have to make boundaries, but there has to be a reasonable motivation to make that boundary. There has to be a reason, a tam. If there's no tam, then Chazal can never make a gzera. So every gzera has a reason. So when do we say if the reason ceases to apply, the gzera ceases to apply? So he quotes there from the Mishkanis Yaakov that if the reason was included in the language of the takana, then when the reason ceases to apply, the takana ceases to apply. But if the reason was not included in the language of the takana, then it stands on its own, even if the reason ceases to apply.
Is that a formal construct, or does that mean literally in the Gemara that you find the takana being made and the reason right now?
No. So how do you know when the reason was included, when the reason was not included? How do you know when it wasn't, when it was not?
Oh, okay.
So some poskim suggest, the Toras Chesed suggests, if it doesn't apply universally, it applies to this one and not to that one. So they must have said, why? You can't have an enigma. People have to understand why it applies to me and it doesn't apply to you. So one could come up with a few chilukim, how we know that Chazal had to include the tam in the gzera. So if Shechter suggests there, that if it was Bakiras Davar Min HaTorah, if they told you, don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos, so they're telling you, be mavato a mitzvah, they must have told you why. Couldn't be that they would make a gzera to be Oga Davar Min HaTorah, even B'Sheval Tasa, without telling you why. So that's how he explains, there you can look there, that's how he explains the Mishnah Berurah asks, there's a discussion in the Poskim in Hilchos Erevin, do we have a Rishus HaRabim Bizman HaZeh D'Oraisa or not? Because maybe we don't have the Shishim Ribo, so there's some Poskim who hold there's no Rishus HaRabim Bizman HaZeh at all. So the Mishnah Berurah asks, if there's no Rishus HaRabim Bizman HaZeh at all, why can't I blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yos B'Shabbos? What am I afraid of? Maybe I'll carry the shofar outside? But there's no Rosh Hashanah Rabban Bizman HaZeh because we don't have Shishim Ribo. So Mishnah Berurah leaves off B'tzarech Iyun. According to those opinions that there's no Rosh Hashanah Rabban Bizman HaZeh, why can't we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yos B'Shabbos? So some ask on the Mishnah Berurah, what are you talking about? Davish, just because the reason stops ceases to apply doesn't mean the whole Gzera ceases to apply. Davish should be minyan tzarach minyan achar atiro. So Shaul explained that perhaps the Bialach is working with this understanding that since they told you don't blow shofar Rosh Hashanah Shacharis B'Shabbos, yeah, they had to include the reason in the Gzera. Otherwise, people would say, why are we blowing shofar? They have to have a reason why we're not doing a mitzvah. So if Shelter suggested the same could be regarding the Issur Refuah B'Shabbos, the Ksos HaShulchan is arguing the following. What do you mean? Just because the reason for the Issur Refuah B'Shabbos ceased to apply, so all of a sudden the Issur should cease to apply? That's Tosas and Beitza. We don't really understand what Tosas said in Beitza. So if Shelter said no, what he's arguing is like we just said. Since Refuah on Shabbos is really a mitzvah, it mavato the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos, I can't enjoy Shabbos properly if a person's lying in bed in pain. So how could they tell me I can't take a medication on Shabbos because of Gzeira Hashem Yimachek Samim on him? But you're being mevatel a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. So it must be they included the reason in the language of the Takana, in the language of the Gzeira. If that's the case, then once the reason ceases to apply, one can make an argument that the Gzeira should cease to apply. That's how he understands the Ksos HaShulchan. The problem is the Ksos HaShulchan is not accepted. No, I haven't seen anyone yet who accepts the Ksos HaShulchan. Lomai said that there's no Issur Refuah B'Shabbos. So Rav Shelter says his argument is so good. Why don't we accept the Ksos HaShulchan? So he suggests it could be because included in the Issur Refuah B'Shabbos is vitamins. This is Rav Shelter's. You say, is that a Dabar Pashut? No, it's not a Dabar Pashut at all. Rav Shelter assumes that include. Let's say I have a pill, which is a vitamin. So if Schechter assumes that vitamins, which come in the any vitamin, not orange juice with vitamin C, a vitamin pill, that would be part of the Issur Refuah B'Shabbos. So vitamins, that doesn't take away from Onik Shabbos. So since the Issur Refuah B'Shabbos included vitamins, and there's no Bittul Onik Shabbos, maybe the reason was not included in the language of the Takana. Because the whole Gzeira doesn't come by Kiras Davim and HaTorah. Only part of it is stands alone. Yeah.
How do we know the vitamins
are
included in the
Gzeira again? Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Rav Shelter is really going the Shitasa from something he has, which is, goes beyond the scope of what we're discussing here, but if you want to look it up, it's in the Daf HaKashrus from the OU from November of 2003. You can look it up. It's a very important article for other reasons. So Rav Shelter there argues, they're discussing medications. Do medications have to be kosher or not? So most poskim assume that pills do not have to be kosher. Because it's not food. If you chew the pill, it would taste terrible. So in Yardea, there's a concept called Nifso Me'achilas HaKelef. It's disgusting. If you eat a pill, it's not food. I am putting it in my mouth. Haven't I just endowed it with the status of food by the fact that I'm eating it? It's a concept called Achshavei. I just gave it Chashivus, that I ate it. So the poskim argue that no, if I'm eating it for medicinal purposes, how can you make an argument that I just endowed it with the status of food? I didn't endow with food by definition of the fact that I'm eating it. I mean, the guy says it tastes terrible. Yeah, but you're eating it. So isn't it food? So he says, no, I'm eating it for medicinal purposes, not because it's food. Okay, that is pretty much a kuyama. But the poskim discuss, what about vitamins? Vitamins, maybe I'm not eating that for medicinal purposes. So Shelter suggests, no, vitamins are the same as pills. The same way pills don't have to be kosher, vitamins don't have to be kosher. Because he includes vitamins like a medicine. When I take a vitamin, that's not a food supplement. It's a preventative medication that I shouldn't get sick. So since it's like medication, if I eat it on Shabbos, it's not necessarily a raya that I'm endowing it with the status of food. I'm eating it on Shabbos because I'm taking preventative medication. So the same way medication doesn't have to be kosher if it's a pill, so too vitamins don't have to be. But he quotes there from Ramosha, who disagrees that vitamins do have to be kosher, even though by medications he would agree vitamins do not have to be kosher, and even though I eat it, and doesn't that show that it's food by definition of the fact that I'm eating it? So he says, no, I'm eating it for medicinal purposes, not for food purposes. But vitamins, he says, I'm not eating for medicinal purposes. That's like a food supplement. I don't get enough vitamin C in my diet, so I take a vitamin C pill. I don't get enough calcium, so I take a calcium pill. So that's a food supplement. So I am endowing it with the status of food by definition of the fact that I'm eating it, so it does have to be kosher. That's what Rav Shechter there quotes from Rav Moshe. That doesn't appear in the Igros Moshe. It's in the Pia Shmua. So then it should follow then, this is my own conclusion, it should follow then that vitamins would be mutter to take on Shabbos. The reason Rav Shechter thinks vitamins are also to take on Shabbos is because he views vitamins not as food supplements, but as preventative medication. So it doesn't have to be kosher. It has a kula. But the chumrah is, you can't take it on Shabbos because it's medication. But Rav Moshe, if a vitamin does have to be kosher, because I view it as a food supplement, and when I eat it, I'm endowing it with the status of food because of achshavei, then I could take it on Shabbos because it's food. There's no issur to eat food on Shabbos. So if you say like Rav Moshe, we're back to square one, meaning Rav Shechter's definition of davar sheben minyan, this is a parenthetical comment, works within his understanding of vitamins. If you might change your perspective on vitamins, you might have to... maybe that, yeah, you have to alter your position over here regarding food for Shabbos. You want to ask something?
Yeah, just, I mean, could you say that it's like medicine in terms of not having kosher? Doesn't mean that you're defining it as medicine in terms of everything. It means that in the same way as medicine, couldn't it mean that in the same way as medicine doesn't have to be kosher, it's not food? There's no vitamin called in food, not actually identifying it as medication.
So therefore?
Therefore, if you might say it's like medicine in terms of not having to be kosher, we're necessarily categorized as medicine.
Right, but he says both of them. Shelter says both. Shelter says vitamins do not have to be kosher, yeah, and it's also to take on Shabbos. So I'm saying that's because he doesn't explain his assumption. I'm telling you his assumption is vitamins are medications. You could give a broader definition. You could redefine it, not medication, but some other type non-food activity. But it's a non-food activity.
So this to be mashed on the Mahalach with the original Tosfos who said that the issur of clapping and singing. So Rav Shechter would say that that's been mevatel a deraisa.
No, he doesn't like that. Tosfos doesn't fit in with his formulation. So that's why he says the Rav didn't like that.
Tosfos
does not fit in. Tosfos is out of the box.
So we're going with application to.
But he's going within the.
Even though that's all based on the Tosfos.
It's not based on the Tosfos. He says he's going with it. He postulates a rule. When do we say davar sheben minyan tzarich minyan achar too? We all agree that it's when the language was included, then we say the reason. When the reason goes away, the gzera goes away. When the language was not included, when the reason was not included in the language, so then the gzera stands on its own. The question is, when was the reason included in the language, when not? So you have a whole bulk of source material. His theory only works with some, and those that are out of the box, he gives up on.
Because one could say some
one could extend your definition, which will include Tosas.
Right, I'm saying, you could also say that there's some sort of deraisa of, I don't know, onik, this maybe there's a kiyum of onik shabbos.
The minhag sozer would argue, right. I guess proper tefillah, okay, yeah. I don't know. All right, you have to extend something else.
Right.
Yeah, maybe we'll
just to review what you had said earlier, when you put your Bible straight, which I was just saying that from the fact that we see she tells us that vitamins are asur on Shabbos, even though abstaining from taking vitamins is not a bittul of mitzvahs on Shabbos. Therefore, you see,
it is. No, he says taking. Oh right, and because vitamins
abstaining
is not
from taking vitamins is still asur on Shabbos,
even though there's no
bittul of mitzvahs on Shabbos. Therefore,
you see, the gzera applies without a bittul of a mitzvah.
And therefore, it must be that.
That it does not necessarily mean the language was included, that the reason was included in the language of the Gzera. Even though that's not the classical case of Refuah, I mean, he's saying he found one case where it applies, that's what he goes with. Yeah.
So there's one unusual case in Refuah where it doesn't end up affecting a mitzvah, but in 99% of cases it involves affecting a mitzvah.
Right.
Because they would have, like, for those 99% of cases, told you
should have included the reason.
The reason.
Yep, it's not the greatest. I agree with you. I agree.
I just want to make sure I understand this concept of the gzeiras nichnas l'toch etzem ha'takana.
The reason is nichnas.
Once again, it doesn't mean that it's literally written in the Gemara as such, but it's that we assume. That
not in the language of the Gemara, in the way it was formulated in its, you know, I guess theoretical. If it would have a language, it would be formulated in language.
You can't go through the Takana of the Gemara and just say, oh, well, this is...
No, you can't pick out from the text.
You have to think through conceptually and
right.
determine whether it was Nichnas.
And we're always going to determine what the reason is. Like the Prima Gadim says, the Chazal had no right to make a Takana unless it was a good reason. And there is always a motivation, and we can discover what the motivation was. And Gemara might even say what the motivation was. That doesn't mean, let's say, you know, just to...
It doesn't mean that it's a
Lahavdil, if the legislation in Washington is making a law, they don't necessarily include the reason in the legislation. Even though we all know the reason, let's say, speed limit is 55 miles an hour. It doesn't necessarily say because it's dangerous. So therefore I could say, well, if no one else is on the road, it's mutter. We all say it's 55 miles an hour. We all know because to go faster is dangerous, but that doesn't mean it was included in the law that if it no longer becomes dangerous because cars, you know, have GPS or whatever, I could tell I'm not going to bump into anyone else. You hear what I'm saying? It depends how it was formulated.
Do you think that nobody's been gone before?
I haven't, no. Refuah has kulos, but to dispense with it entirely, I haven't seen anyone.
I think I heard
There's no Isra Refuah B'Shabbos at all. I haven't seen that.
Finally, one post-it.
I haven't seen that. It puts his money where the mouth is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. It's a good kasha. If you show it to me, I'd like to see it. I haven't seen it. Maybe he uses it as a sniff of a hakel, meaning he's very into that.
What does he says? Doesn't he say he's like a
tattoo right there?
Yeah. Show it to me.
Bring it in, though. It's important to hear.
When is this Iser Midr Rabbanim Gzer Hashem Yimachik Samamanim Mutter is a Machlokas HaRishonim. The Gemara says in Shabbos on Kuf Chaf Tes Amid Aleph, this is a very important rule, that any time you're dealing with a Chole She'ein Bo Sakana, Davar She'ein Bo Mishum Sakana, the Gemara says. The person is sick, but he's not in any life-threatening circumstance. He says, the Rambam says, he's nafug mishkov. He has to lie down, or he has to stop doing his normal activities. Okay, so perhaps you can interpret the Rambam. He's ill, but he can't go through his normal, not that I have a headache, I could do my normal schedule. That's I don't feel so well, but still, I'm not a chol at all. I'm doing everything I normally do. It means the person is nafug mishkov. He has to lie down in the middle of the day, or something like that. So he's a davashe, ein bo mishum sakana, omer lenachri. Amiru Anachri is always mutter for a cholo she'en bo sakana. That's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Chav Ches. So the Rosh in Avodah Zarah has a suffix. What about other Isurim Midrabanan? Is it only Amiru Anachri? Or any Amiru Anachri is a example of any Isur Midrabanan is mutter for a cholo she'en bo sakana. That's a suffix. So in Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch quotes four opinions in the Rishonim on this issue. Shulchan Aruch goes through all four. One opinion in Rishonim is that yes, all Isur Midrabanan are mutter for a cholo she'en bo sakana. The next opinion in Shulchan Aruch is that no, all Isur Midrabanan except Amir Lenachri are aser for a cholo she'en bo sakana. The two extremes. And then there's two compromise positions. So the one we accept is the Ramban in the Torah Sa'adam, where the Ramban says that all Isurim Midrabanan, generally speaking, the Ramban doesn't say, but the Ramban says like this, Amir Anachri is Mutter, and all other Isurim Midrabanan, he seems to Aser, he seems to say are no good, you're not allowed to do it for Kol Shem Be'ein Bo Sakana, except for Kalachar Yad. If I do a Malacha Kalachar Yad, that's permissible for Chol She'en Bo Sakana. So the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins is, two things are mutter for Chol She'en Bo Sakana. Number one, Amir Anachri. Number two, Kalachar Yad. The Ramban didn't just pick Kalachar Yad. It's based on the Gemara and Ksubis and Daf Samech, which we mentioned when we learned Dush, that a person is not feeling well on Shabbos and he needs to milk cow. He needs cow milk from a cow. He could be Yane Kalachar Yad. The Ramban says, you see, a Chol She'en Bo Sakana, Kalachar Yad is permissible.
It's not a Malacha D'Oraita?
It is. Chaliva from an animal is Malacha D'Oraita, but it's not the normal way of doing Chaliva. It's to the guy would suck from the udder. That's not the normal way of doing it.
So
since it's kalachriyah, doing with a shinoi makes it a drabanan, and just that drabanan of kalachriyah, the shinoi is mutter for kol shem
musar. So it'd be kalachomer a drabanan with a shinoi, which might not even.
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah. Anytime you do a shinoi, yeah.
Okay.
That's the opinion of the Ramban. The problem is. So that's fine, we understand that. The problem is, the Shulchan Aruch later, in that same siman, Shin Chav Ches, Siv Lamed Zayin, says that Refuah, the Issa Refuah of Gzeir Hashemi Yumachik Samimonim, that we've been discussing this whole time, is Mutter for Achole She'ein Bo Sakana. That's the Ramah, in Siv Lamed Zayin, says it's permissible for Achole She'ein Bo Sakana to take medication. The person has a headache and he can't function, is a migraine, he can take medication. You know, he's not in any life-threatening predicament, it's permissible to take medication. So I asked the Mishnah Berurah, the Ava gave the Paskin on the ale. The Shvushi is b'maizes, also Al Yedei Yisrael. It's only Mutter Al Yedei Shinoi if it's Kalach Yad. What's going on over here? How am I allowed to take medication? So he quotes from the Radvaz a further distinction. He says, Tzarech Loma, I'll read to you the language. The shiny Hossam, it's different over there. Shemairi b'melochos d'rabanon. That's talking about melochos d'rabanon. That's usher for a chol shein bo sakana. O bidvarim shemechzi ke'ein melocha. Or it looks like a melocha. It's only rak lemisha yeshol mechush gozru mishum schika samimonim b'chol gomer lo gozru. It's only also mishum schika samimonim, so that's ein bo srach melacha. But if it's a melacha midrabanan, or it is ke'ein melacha, it looks like a melacha, that's aser for chol she'ein bo sakana. So what is this distinction of the Radvaz? He says sometimes some Darabanans are mutter for Chol Shein Bo Sakana and some Darabanans are not. So it's generally understood that what the Radvaz meant to say is what the Rambam writes, along the lines of what the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos, in Perichof Aleph, Halacha Aleph. The Rambam writes that there are two types of Gzeiros Midrabanan on Shabbos. Some are, as the Radvaz called them, melochos midrabanon. So writing with your left hand, so that looks a lot like a melocha. It's just in a little bit of a not normal way. So you're not allowed to write with your left hand, so that could be a melocha midrabanon. Ksivas osachas, maybe. Anyway, if it looks like a melocha midrabanon, if it looks like a melocha, but it's not, you don't have all the elements there to be the melocha midaraisa, that could be called the Malacha Midrabanan. But then there's another category of Dirabanans, which is a Gzeira. This itself is not necessarily Doma to the Malacha, but if I do this activity, I might come to violate the Malacha Midaraisa. That's a Gzeira Midrabanan. Again, Rav Shechter and Eretz Tzvi has a whole piece about Malachas Midrabanan, Gzeiras Midrabanan. He develops this idea further. You could look there for his whole presentation. But there seems to be that that's what the Radvaz is driving at here as well. For chol she'ein bo sakana, gzeiros midrabanan are permissible. Kalach yad, let's say. Is kalach yad because it looks like the malacha, or is because what I'm doing is not necessarily the malacha, but I might come to do the malacha, nor in the normal way? So the Ramban seems to say it's because I might come to do the malacha in the normal way, not because it looks like the malacha. It's not a malacha midrabanan, it's a gzeir midrabanan. And what is mutter for chol she'ein bo sakana is Gzeiros midrabanan. I might come to be mamachik samimonim, but right now I'm not being mamachik. The refu is not tchina midrabanan. It's nothing. But maybe I will come to do tchina. This he's trying to further distinguish within the Ramban. Yeah. Maybe that's the distinction between Kalach HaYad and the other ones, right? Right. However, the Bi'alaka there quotes that from the Mishkan Yaakov, we collect all the money, we show them that we are not Mekel. We'll disagree with this Rama. We are not Mekel on the Isser Refuah B'Shabbos for a Chola She'ein Bo Sakana. Which will mean you couldn't take, if you have a headache, even if you have to lie down, you couldn't take medication. It's a big Chumrah. But, so they would argue, if they're fitting within to our definition, that Refuah is Tchina Midrabanan. But we generally accept the Mishnah Berurah says, since the Ramah is Mako, where he says the person should not necessarily go nucho limchos biyadam akilim. The minig is to be Mako on that. But Chol Shein Bo Sakana is mutter to take medication. Yeah.
I think earlier in the year we suggested that Isser is not on the Maisa of taking the Refuah, it's on getting the Refuah itself.
Right.
And that can't be done with the Shina, because even if the Goy is doing it, you're still getting the Refuah.
Oh, interesting.
I don't remember when we suggested that, but it came up earlier.
When we were talking about exercise, maybe?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember. I have to think about it. I wanted to suggest one possible, before we leave the topic, I wanted to suggest a possible explanation for this distinction. Why should it be that Gzeiros Midrabanan do not apply to a Chol Shein Bo Sakana? Malachos Midrabanan do apply to a Chol Shein Bo Sakana? Would be awesome. Why should one say that everything is mutter for a Chol Hashem? Again, some Yishonim hold it's all mutter for a Chol Hashem Bo Sakana. So you can take it or leave it. This is my own explanation. The Gemara has in Yuma on Hey Amid Aleph a long discussion there. How do we know Sakana is Docha Shabbos? A person's in a life-threatening illness. How do we know that that's Docha Shabbos? So Gemara goes through a whole bunch of reasons, and at the end, the Gemara comes to the pasuk V'chai Bohem V'Losh Yamos Bohem. All the mitzvahs were given that a person should live by doing the mitzvahs, not that the Shabbos should kill a person. So it must be Sakana is Docha Shabbos. And the Gemara says, really, it was another reason we could have known that, and this is coming to tell you, even a suffix Sakana is Docha Shabbos. So Sakana is Docha Shabbos because it says V'chai Bohem. Is V'chai Bohem limited to Sakana, or does V'chai Bohem apply, let's say a person is not feeling well. He's not in any life-threatening predicament, but he could take medication and feel better. Is he obliged to take that medication and feel better? Does a person have to make themselves feel better from a Chol She'ein Bo Sakana? Does V'chai Bohem, just at that level of V'chai Bohem, it might be is that not including V'chai Bohem at all? And that's why it's not Docha Shabbos? Or no? Even getting better from a minor illness is part of V'chai Bohem. Person should do that. Just that's not Docha Shabbos. Meaning, does V'chai Bohem apply to a Chol She'ein Bo Sakana, or does it not? Clearly, it's not Docha Shabbos, so that element of V'chai Bohem it does not have, but it does V'chai Bohem apply to a Chol She'ein Bo Sakana at all or not? So I thought if V'chai Bohem applies to a Chol She'ein Bo Sakana, so then maybe it's not Docha Shabbos, but at least Malachas Midrabanan should be Docha. But the Ramban argues no. V'chai Bohem does not apply to Chol She'ein Bo Sakana at all. Why are we make on Isur Midrabanan for a Chol She'ein Bo Sakana? Because B'makom Tzar Lo Gazu Bei Rabanan. Gemara has that concept in a few places, that if it's too difficult, Lo Gazu Bei Rabanan. So here, Chol She'ein Bo Sakana, Lo Gazu Bei Rabanan. It's not V'chai Bohem, but the Rambam never made their Gzeirah. So if that's the case, though, it should only apply to Gzeiros Midrabanan. That was formulated as a maybe if you do this, you might come to do that. Then Lo Gazu Bei Rabanan. But if it's not also because of that, it's also because that's the Malacha Midrabanan. Then the concept of B'makom Tzar Lo Gazu Bei Rabanan would not necessarily apply. This discussion between whether V'chai Bohem applies to Chol She'ein Bo Sakana or not is really a larger issue. We're not going to dwell on it, but the Shulchan Aruch says in Simin Taf Ayin Beis, Sif Yud, in Hilchos Pesach, that based on the Gemara Nedarim and Yerushalmi, that one of the Amoraim said that wine did not sit well with him. But the only time he would drink wine the whole year was on Da'ud Kosos. Gemara Nedarim and Yerushalmi. And the Gemara says, that, I think it was Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, and he was sick from Pesach to Shavuos. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that a person has to be force themselves to drink Da'ud Kosos even though the wine hurts them a little bit, because one of them was sick even from Pesach to Shavuos. So Mishnah Brura there says that's only if you're not going to become sick. A person is a chol she'ein bo sakana, but you don't have to become a chol she'ein bo sakana to do a mitzvah. Who ever heard of such a thing? However, there are those who argue. There's a tshuva in the Maram Shik who says, don't you see from this Gemara that a person has to force themselves to do mitzvahs even though they will become a chol she'ein bo sakana? This guy was sick, he says, from Pesach to Rabbi Yehuda guy was sick from Pesach to Shavuos, and he drank Dawud Kosos. Don't you see a person has to force himself to do a mitzvah even though he's going to become a chol she'ein bo sakana?
Mishnah said...
No, it's talking about, hey, it'll bother him a little bit. Yeah. But he won't be sick. So that's a big question. Does a person have to be mekayim a mitzvah if he's going to get sick in the process? He won't be in a threatening predicament, but does he have to do it or not? So Rabbi Scheinberg explains in one of his mamarim that this could be dependent on this shayla. If v'chai bohem applies to a chol she'ein bo sakana, so clearly I'm not obligated to do a mitzvah if I'm going to become sick. But if v'chai bohem does not apply to a chol she'ein bo sakana, so I have a mitzvah to drink Dawud Kosos. So even if he gets sick a little bit, obligated to drink Dawud Kosos. If I'm going to, person's going to be life-threatening, that's v'chai bohem. V'chai bohem is sakana. But if you're not going to, you're not in a life-threatening situation, you're not going to die from drinking it, so then you would be obligated to do it, even though you're going to get sick a little bit. Anyway, the shayla comes up often in the different circumstances. We generally assume you're not obligated to, but it could be because we assume that v'chai bohem does apply to a chol she'ein bo sakana. It could be other reasons too.
Any thoughts on the different definitions of chol she'ein bo sakana in terms of nafal rishka, unable to operate normally? It seems to be quite a span in how some posts can apply that.
Right. Some have a more literal interpretation. Everyone agrees the definition is nafal mishkav. The question is, what does nafal mishkav mean? Does it literally mean he has to lie down? Or does it, can we be more...
Mishkav says even if he's walking.
Even if he's walking, if he would have to lie down.
No, he could even be walking around and he could still be considered nafal mishkav. He should be in bed. So.
Right, that's a more liberal... Shafter has this definition of you can't function normally.
That sounds seems pretty make-up.
Pretty liberal, yeah.
I think Ruby at Slater has a bunch of subcategories that lists, I think, only the far extreme you can take, like Advil and the like.
I'm not sure if that's a product of the Kitzer health, you know, Kitzer book movement, or if that's, I don't know. Okay, let's get started on Lisha, and then we'll, continue next time. The Mishnah says in Shabbos, HaKufnot Hei, Amid Beis, that Nosnin Mayim L'Mursan, a person can put water into Mursan, which was some sort of...
Bran?
Yeah, it was like a branny type thing, which didn't absorb the water. The Gemara has a few examples of similar materials. Kemach Kali, which was a roasted wheat. You know, the Metzias, I hope to get right, but I think it's some sort of wheat product which does not absorb water. Notice the Mayim Lemorsan of Aloma Goblin. You cannot stir it. You can add the water, but you can't stir. So the Gemara in Shabbos says, who is that Mishnah going according to? So the Gemara says, that's going according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees with Rabbi. Where do they do that? Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda holds that the melacha of Lisha is not the adding of the water. Ain't no chayiv. You're not chayiv if you add water. You are only chayiv if you are megabel. And Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda holds that the melacha of Lisha is primarily adding the water to the flour. Rabbi holds that the melacha is adding the water to the flour, and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says it's the gibo. Ain't no chayiv. Let me just get the language. You only chayv once you stir the wheat, the flour, together with the water. That's machlokas by kemach. So the Gemara suggests, no, maybe our Mishnah is according to everyone, even according to Rebbe. Because here, we are talking about a substance which does not absorb water. Maybe Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda holds you only chayiv if you do gibul. Maybe Rabbi only holds you only chayiv if you add the water by something which absorbs the water. But if the item does not absorb the water, like Morsan, maybe you'd be chayiv right away when you add the two together. I'm sorry, maybe I'm saying it over.
Yeah, it's not intuitive.
I'm sorry, the Gemara says like this. Right. Maybe Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda only said that it's usher, is permissible to add the water if the substance is not, if the substance is an absorbing substance. It's a bar gibol. So when I do gibol, the two will become absorbed. So then the gibol is the ikar, not the adding of the water. But if the item is not a bar gibol, like Morsan, maybe everybody would agree that I'm chayiv once I add the water. And the Mishnah would then be according to nobody. So Gemara says, Ad kan lo amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda that the ikar is only achig einu chayiv achig gabel, if it's a davar is a bar gibol. Morsan is an einu bar gibol at all.
Logic dictate the opposite.
And maybe everyone would agree you'd be chayiv the minute you put the water into the mixture. So then the Gemara says no, and the Gemara has a brisa exactly regarding Morsan. The Gemara says that it is permissible, according to Rebbe, it's prohibited to add water to Morsan. And according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, it's permissible to add water to the Morsan. It's only usher to be Megabel. So it seems to be that the Havamina was rejected, even by a Dover which is a Bar Gibol, or a Dover which is not a Bar Gibol. Rebbe would say adding the water is the Melacha of the Iker of the Melacha of Lisha, and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would say the Iker is the Gibol, is the stirring. The Bir Halacha points out that you see from the language of the Braisa, Eino Chayiv, by wheat, by flour, Eino Chayiv Ad Shiyagabel, that there is an Issa Midrabanan, either way, for Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda to add water. You're not allowed to add water to flour according to anybody. Eino Chayiv Ad Shiyagabel. You're not Chayiv until you did Gibel. Just by a double, which is Eino Bar Gibel, something which is not as absorbing as flour. So there, it's permissible for Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda to add the water. The only issue would be in the gibul itself. I mean, even though we don't accept the Gemara's distinction that for Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, I'd be chayiv the minute I put the water in by the morsan, there is a distinction between the two regarding this issur midrabanan to add the water. But basically, what comes out from the Gemara on Kufnun Hay is that to add water for Rebbe is the etzem of the melacha of Lisha, and for Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, the ikar melacha is the Lisha, the stirring. And many Rishonim passing like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because we have a Stam Mishnah. Halacha ki Stam Mishnah. The Stam Mishnah is like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. That you only chayiv want to do the gibul, not just for adding the water. However, the problem is, there seems to be another Stam Mishnah, which is like Rebbe. The Gemara in Yudzayin, the Mishnah, I'm sorry, in Yudzayin on the Beis, quotes a machlok between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether a person can soak dyo in a liquid. The way they would make ink, my understanding is that they would take some shavings or from plants or other items and mix it together with oil and other things to make some sort of stick or some sort of dried rod, which they would then insert in the water into this gall, mixture of this gall or some sort of plant abnormality, which the bugs make or something like that, and then they would stick it into the gall, and together that would make the ink, which was some sort of liquid, and together that would, the dried out rod of stuff with resin, whatever, would mix with the gall, would make the ink. So the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel and Machlokas, can I do that Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos? So we paskin, you can do it Erev Shabbos going into Shabbos like Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says, it sounds like on Shabbos, everyone would agree, I cannot stick, ain't showing us a dio. I cannot stick this rod of dried out resin, whatever, into the liquid. Sounds like that, on Shabbos, everyone would agree that's Asa. Who is that Tana who believes that that's Asa? So Gemara says, that's Rebbe. Because mixing, Rebbe believes, the etzem, the mechayev of the melacha of Lisha, the real focus of Lisha is on the mixing of the water and the flour, and here I'm mixing the hard material of this dried out rod of whatever, of the dio, with the liquid. So I'm mixing the two, even though I haven't done any gibul. I'm just being shoret in the water. I'm chayev. Whereas for Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, I would have to mix the two. in order to be chayav for Lisha. So then, the Gemara says, no, maybe this Mishnah could even be according to Rabbi Yosef Ben Yehuda. Because, again, the same Havamina, because Dio is an Eino Bar Gibo. It doesn't mix well with the liquid. It doesn't mix at all. It just gets confused with the two. You know, they get mixed up, but they don't get they don't mix like flour mixes with water. There, even Rabbi Yosef Ben Yehuda would agree the Iker is the adding of the water, the putting the two together, not necessarily the mixing. And there, the Gemara seems to accept that not only Havamina, it seems to be that that's what's accepted. That if it's an Eino Bar Gibul, I would even for Rabbi Yosef Ben Yehuda, I would be chayv the minute I mix the two. So first, some Rishonim say that this Stam Mishnah is like Rebbe. The Gemara originally thought that this Mishnah was only according to Rebbe. That mixing the two is the etim luach of Lisha. So many Rishonim passing like Rebbe. That Lisha is mixing water with flour, even if I don't mix the two together, I don't stir the two together. Once I just combine them, that's the Malach of Lisha. And this is two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. Do we pass them like Rabbi Yosef Ben Yehuda, or do we pass them like Rebbe? Each one has a Stam Mishnah, and you get involved in all the Klolei Psak, when each one has a Stam Mishnah, like Rebbe Mechavayrov, and maybe not. So this is two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. You get the impression from the Shulchan Aruch that we are Mako. We pass them like Rabbi Yosef Ben Yehuda. You're not chayav for Lisha unless you mix the two. Stir the two. But the Mishnah Berurah says we are machmir for Rebbe. Some circumstances, maybe we could be makel for Rebbe, like you couldn't make it before, you know, it'll go bad if I make it before, but, or if it's for katan, but generally speaking, we'll get back to that later, but generally speaking, we're machmir for Rebbe. However, Tosus asks, how do we reconcile these two Gemaras? The Gemara in Kuf Nun Hei seem to reject the assumption, the possibility that for Rabbi Yosef Ben Yehuda by Adavar She'eino Bar Gibul, I'd be chayv the minute I mix them. Whereas the Gemara here on Yud Ches says, if it's an Eino Bar Gibul, it doesn't mix well, I'm chayv the minute I add the water, according to everybody. Which is it, says Tosus? Do we accept that assertion, or do we not accept that assertion? So Tosus has his fancy distinction between a bar gibul and a bar gibul. It mixes, but it doesn't mix that well. So if it mixes, but it doesn't mix that well, then no. That's like flour and water. That for Biosi Ben Yehuda, you only chayv if you actually stir the two. And he says, that's Morrison. It mixes, but it doesn't mix that well. But he says, if it doesn't mix at all, that's the case over here by the Dio. It doesn't mix at all. Then I would be chayv the minute that I mix the two. So Tosus has a big chumrah. By something which doesn't mix well with the liquid, you'd be chayv the minute you combine the two, according to everybody. However, Rashi and the Rambam, Tosus already quotes Rashi, Rashi and the Rambam, and that's the way the Rambam passes in the Mishnah Torah, argue that no, for Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, it's gibel and only gibel. You are never chayv the minute you mix two substances together. Unless you're passing like Rebbe, but for Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, the Iker is the Gibul. So, just we'll end off with this. For the Malach of Lisha and the Mishkan, where was that? So for Tosus, we understand very well. Ein Sharanis Hadio. You cannot soak the ink in this liquid on Shabbos. So is that only according to Rebbe or according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda as well? So Tosus says that's even according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, because it's an Eino Bar Gibul. It doesn't mix well with water. Once it doesn't mix well with water, it's prohibited even just to combine the two. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda will have Lisha in the Mishkan by Shriyas Hadio. However, if you pass on, for the Rambam, that you are never chayev for just mixing two things together. You only chayev if you stir them. Where was Lisha in the Mishkan? Presumably, the source was for Shriyas Hadio, and if for Shriyas Hadio, you only chayv if you mix them. Where did I ever have Lisha in the Mishkan as a paradigm for the Malacha of Lisha? So we mentioned previously this machlok, a big machlok, seen Rashi in the Ben Hanana. Where do we learn out all the Malachas of the Mishkan? Was it from the Asiyas HaSamimanim? Was it from the Asiyas HaKarbanos, the Menachos? So if it's from the Asiyas HaKarbonos, the Eglay Tal says, then we know where it came from. But if it's from the Asiyas HaDio, from the Samamanim, where was the Melech of Lisha in the Mishkan? So Eglay Tal says, if you look in the Rambam in Hilchus Tefillin, where he describes the process of making of Dio, so before they would ever get to these rods of dried out ink, they would have to mix the resin with shemen and other items to make these rods. Then they would put it into the liquid. So Eglay Tal says, you'll have to say for the Rambam that the Melech of Lisha was found in the actual making of the rods, not in the sticking it into the liquid. Not the Shriyas HaDio. For Tosos, that could be the source of the Melech of Lisha. The Mishkan, for the Rambam, would have to be in the making of the rods. They would first mix it into some mush, you know, some, I guess, doughy type substance, and then they would dry it out. So that was where you found the Melech of Lisha in the Mishkan. Anyway, it's important always to know where things come from in the Mishkan, but we'll pick up from here next time, Yitzhak Shem, and try and address the other issues.